So I need to preface this sermon today by telling you this isn't going to be a typical sermon. It's going to be a little harder for me to share today, so bear with me as we get through it. But I'd like to go ahead and start us with a little exercise. And so if you're comfortable where you are, I want you to go ahead and close your eyes. Everyone can do it. No one's going to be looking at you, I promise. I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to start breathing. Or focus on your breath. Go ahead and inhale one more time. And when you exhale, you can open your eyes. So let's be honest here. How many of you were distracted? How many of you were thinking about things that you need to get done today? Yeah. How many of you was this like totally easy? I don't see too many hands up. That's good. Oh, I see one right there. Okay. A lot of times we go through our day and we don't even think about our breath. We don't really focus on it. You know, our bodies give us signs that tell us when we're hungry, our stomachs will growl, and we kind of go, oh gosh, I hope the person next to me didn't hear that. Sometimes we're really thirsty and our mouths feel really dry and we know we need something to drink. But our bodies don't really give us any cues to breathe. It's something that we just do. Did you know that for adults and older children, we take about 12 to 20 breaths per minute, and that's when we're resting. And over the course of a day, that adds up to 17,000 to 30,000 breaths per day. But if you start walking around your house, you're going to be breathing more than that. If you exercise, you're going to breathe more than that. If you feel shortness of breath, you're going to be breathing more than that. But our breath is something that continues to go, and we don't even recognize it. We can live without food for a short time, and we can live without water for a short time, but we cannot live without breath. This morning, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Please pray with me. Lord, we pause before you this morning, and we breathe in your presence. Lord, help us to hear the message that you would have me speak today. May it fall on our ears. May they be open. May we hear you speaking to each of us. Lord, may we feel your presence here today, next to us. And most of all, help us to remember that we are connected to you. We pray this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So each of us have a story, right? Everybody has a story. And all of our stories are slightly different because we've all experienced different life circumstances, right? Maybe based on where we grew up, how we were raised, the things that have happened to us in our lives. But all of our stories have one thing in common. And it all started when God breathed life into us. When God exhaled, we inhaled, and we were born. In Genesis, we are shown the story of creation, and we know that God spoke into creation, and he spoke, and the heavens and the earth were formed. He created all the creatures and the land and the sea, and he separated day from night, and he spoke, and whole galaxy was born. And after creating all of those things, he spoke again, and God said, "Now let us conceive a new creation, humanity, made in our image, fashioned in our likeness." So God created humanity. And unlike all the other things he created Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed life into his nostrils. Can you imagine being so close to have someone breathe into you like that? And that's where our life came from. So often we go about our day and we don't notice that breath. But that very breath that fills our lungs is that first connection that we have to our Creator. We breathe because God first exhaled into us. We are his creation. You are his masterpiece, and I am his masterpiece. Tell the person next to you, you're God's masterpiece, because we are. So each of our stories connect back to the beginning of that first breath. And God didn't create everything around us and create life within us just to abandon us and leave. God continues to create life. Every day he is breathing into creation and creating new things. And so today I'm going to share a little about the new life that God has breathed into me. Just bear with me. As many of you know, this past April, my family and I were in a car accident. It's the second major car accident I've been in the past 8 years. And a lot of you may not know, 8 years ago, 1 month after we moved here, Chris and my daughter and I were in a car accident that they didn't expect survivors from. And at that time, or a few months down the road, because I became a hermit in my apartment and realized that I didn't leave my apartment or open a window or open a door for an entire week, and I realized I needed help. I used to stand over my daughter's crib when I would wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares, and I would watch her breathe just to know that she was alive. I struggled for years to find healing, and after 7 years, I thought, ugh, I'm good. I haven't had any triggers. I haven't had any problems. And then a year ago, last October, when I was in Texas for a friend's funeral, I was with a couple of my best friends, and we were driving the car, and it was night, and the car went past us, and something triggered me, and I went into a panic attack in the car. And thankfully, my friends were there, and we were able to pull the car over to the side of the road. They got me out of the car. They drove us back to where we were staying. And they tried so hard to get me to come back to the present. But no matter what they did, they couldn't get me there. They called Chris. They tried having me listen to his voice. They were telling me, your family's okay, you're here. But I wasn't fully present there. Now, thankfully, and I don't recommend this to any of you at home, so please don't take this, but thankfully my friend had some medicine that I was able to take because it was either that or go to the emergency room, one of the two, and I didn't want to go anywhere. But I was really embarrassed by that because even though these were people that I've been friends with for over 20 years, to be in that state of vulnerability and to have people see me where I don't have that control was a really scary thing for me. For a long time, when we first moved here, so it was 1 month after we moved here that the accident happened. We moved here with the intentions of me doing a chaplain residency at Penrose. And after the accident, I remember feeling afraid. I didn't want to go into chaplaincy. I did not want to go back into a hospital. I was afraid of seeing people in pain. I was afraid of seeing people suffer. And I definitely did not want to see people die. And I shut down in a lot of ways after that first accident. But God continued moving me forward. And he began to open my eyes so that I could see the life that he placed before me. So he began opening doors, and it became very clear to me that I was supposed to be a chaplain. It's like, all right. So, little secret, some of you might not know this, I never wanted to be a chaplain. But that's where God placed me, and I learned that it's not about what I want, but it's about where God wants me. So working as a chaplain, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about who God is. I wrestled with my own struggles of life and death. And something that I developed during my residency and that I continue to develop in my life today is what I call my theology of personhood. And it's about being fully known by God, but also about knowing others. As a chaplain, I was privileged to come alongside people and see just a glimpse of their story as they allowed me in. Each of our stories matter. The good, the bad, the terrible things, the joyful things, all of those pieces of our stories matter. When our stories are known, part of that story being known is being seen. It's being seen by God, who already knows our story, though. And it's about being seen by others. And everybody wants to be seen. No matter how scared we are, we want people to know us for who we are. I didn't want the accident to be a part of my story. I wanted to forget about it. As with most traumatic things that we experience in life, we want to forget about the things that cause us pain. But throughout my ministry, God used me and my own brokenness to bring healing to other people, but also to bring continued healing in my life. I struggled for a very long time with the fear that my story was supposed to end in a car. And in April of this year, that fear came alive again when Chris and the kids and I were in an accident on the freeway. I never thought that I would have to live through another accident. And I remember my therapist that I saw after the first accident said to me, "What you experienced, it's not like what most accidents are, and it's a very slim chance that you would ever go through that again." But here I found myself again in this place, paralyzed by fear. I was afraid to leave my house. I was afraid to come back to church. Even though I know all of you people are people who love me and know me, because I was afraid. I didn't know if I would go into a panic attack. I didn't know what would happen. And I was afraid to be seen in a state that I couldn't handle. It took me a week to get out of bed. Finally, I was able to get up, and I was able to walk to school, get my kids to school, come home from school, and that was my outing. So that first month after the accident was a really big struggle for me. And one day Chris said to me, "Did you ever think that maybe you were supposed to live? You didn't die, you survived, and you survived both times." And his question changed something in me, something that I'm still learning today, which is how to be present. How to be present in my life and how to be present in what God is doing in my life. At that time, Chris knew, knowing me as well as he does, he and another friend of ours began to arrange having one of my friends come over every week. And Chris said, "Don't ask Lisa to come over, just come over, tell her when you're coming, and she will be here." And Chris knew that that was a way to keep me present in reality, because otherwise I was going to slip away like I did the first time. And it was a way to keep me present so that I wasn't dwelling on my own fear of dying. Because I kept playing over in my mind and questioning why I didn't die. And that wasn't healthy. For people who've experienced trauma, one thing that really helps is teaching them how to breathe again. Because learning how to breathe is a way that connects you to the present reality that you're in. It's teaching them that it's okay to be present. It's okay to be in your body. You don't have to disconnect from yourself because of whatever fear it is that keeps getting triggered in you. So this summer, I began to learn how to breathe again. A friend of mine told me about this place downtown, and she said, "Lisa, when you are ready, there's a yoga place downtown that teaches trauma-sensitive yoga, and it's Christ-centered." And I went, "What's trauma-sensitive yoga? And what is Christ-centered yoga?" And I've done yoga off and on for years, and I had never heard of that. So, of course, it piqued my curiosity, and I began looking into that. In July, when I became a little more comfortable going farther from my house, it was probably middle of July, I finally went downtown to the studio, and I went to my first trauma-sensitive yoga class. And I remember when I got there, I got on my yoga mat, and as this woman opened in prayer, I just started crying, and I couldn't stop. Because I felt like I was in a safe place, and I felt like I could be there. And I was able to connect my breath back to the one who gives me life and the one who gives you life. A couple weeks later, I had to go back to work in hospice. In my job in hospice, I was driving all around the northern county of El Paso County, and I saw people all over the place. I didn't realize how affected I would be by driving on a daily basis to multiple places. And so throughout the 2 weeks that I was back at work, I began having more panic attacks in the car. I was having flashbacks, and my anxiety kept rising. And one day, I had to take a day off because I could not function from the night before when I had a panic attack that took me a very long time to come out of. So I went and saw my doctor, and she said to me, "Lisa, you are a shell of the person I saw 2 weeks ago, and you cannot continue this." So that was hard for me to hear, because Chris and I had conversations over the summer about making a long-term change and, you know, down the road, finding a job and a ministry that I wouldn't have to drive all over the place all day long. But that was down the road. That was not here, it was not now, and it definitely was not in August. But it was. And so I ended up having to resign from my job. And we've all heard the saying that when one door opens, another door, or when one door closes, another door opens, right? Well, that's exactly what happened. Leaving hospice was very unexpected for me. It was scary. It was something that I had wanted to transition out of for a while, but I didn't because I was afraid. Because in some ways, I allowed my ministry as a chaplain to define who I was. Because I thought I was a pretty good chaplain. But God's reminded me that my identity is not defined by what I do, but it's defined by whose I am. And God continues to breathe new life into me. Through the summer, I had a couple of Shalom friends that came to pray with me on a regular basis. And through our times of praying together, which is pretty awesome, I heard God say to me, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And he gave me this image of a cocoon. All right, maybe some of you have heard me say this, but a cocoon literally turns to mush inside. But a caterpillar starts out as a cocoon, or as a butterfly starts out as a caterpillar. It could be a moth, but let's focus on the butterfly. So butterflies start out as caterpillars, and it's the same creature. In essence, it's the same, but it undergoes a major change. And then it comes out of this cocoon, and there's this beautiful butterfly, sometimes a pretty moth, too. I'm the same person that I was before the accident, before both accidents. In essence, I am the same person that God has created me to be. But I've undergone some significant changes in my life and the way that I see life now. And although I'm different, God is doing a new thing in me, and he continues to breathe new life into me. One of the things that became very clear to me in my own healing process was that I really want to be able to help other people who have experienced trauma, whether it's a big T trauma or a little T trauma. We've all experienced trauma to some degree. And I wanted to figure out, how can I help other people who've experienced trauma? Because it really sucks. And so at the beginning of September, a couple weeks after I resigned from my job, I began a new journey, and I started taking yoga teacher instruction through a place called Holy Yoga, because I wanted to be able to teach others about Christ-centered yoga, and I wanted other people to experience the healing and the joy that I have found in reconnecting to God. And it all began with me first learning how to breathe again. So just at the beginning of this month, I finished my training with Holy Yoga. And at my commissioning, or my graduation, I thought it was pretty awesome because I was anointed. And when I was anointed, they said, go out and be a gospel preacher and a yoga teacher. And so God continues to open doors. And I'm really excited to share with you all today a pretty big door that God's opening. In this coming spring of 2018, with the support of the Pueblo Presbytery and partnership of Covenant, I'm going to be launching a new worshiping community, and it's called Still Waters Yoga. And God has given me a vision to create space where people can come and experience the living God in a new and different way while on their yoga mats, and where they can learn how to breathe again. Now, some of you are probably sitting there thinking, what is Christ-centered yoga and what is holy yoga? And I thought the same thing. So I want to invite you all to come and experience it for yourselves. Now, Steve made the announcement that there's nothing going on Thanksgiving week. However, I'm going to be teaching two holy yoga classes that week, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving and the Saturday morning after. And so I encourage you to come and experience Christ in a new way. It doesn't matter if you've done yoga before. It doesn't matter if you've done yoga for years. If you can breathe, which we all can, because we're all breathing right now, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And so I invite you to come. One of the things that I love about holy yoga in particular is that it comes from a lineage of grace. God pours his grace out on us, and we have grace for ourselves, we have grace for our own bodies, and we recognize and we honor that God has created each of us differently, and we move differently in our own bodies, but we breathe as one, because he's the one who gave us breath. So even though I've been through all this stuff that I wish that I hadn't been through, I'm excited about the way that God's breathing new life in me, because I feel like I'm embracing life again. And I'm excited about what he's doing through Still Waters Yoga, and for the people who have yet to come, but for the people that I know he will bring. And so come and experience it. And if in experiencing it, something gets excited in you and you think, hey, I really want to be a part of this, or I really want to learn more, or you want to be part of the launching team, come and see me. I would love to have you on board. And we have a group of leadership team right now that we've been gathering and praying. And you know what? We're discovering it as it unfolds. So you can come as you are. But in closing today, I want us to go back to that first exercise that we did in the beginning. And so I'd like you to close your eyes again. And I want you to take notice of your natural breath, just as you normally breathe. On your next breath, I want you to take a deep inhale. This is your gift from God. And exhale. Take another deep inhale. And exhale. Take another deep breath. This time I want you to fill your lungs to the fullest. See if you can hold your breath at the top for 2 seconds. And then go ahead and exhale. And exhale your lungs all the way. And I want you to take another few breaths just like that. This is the breath that God has given you. As he exhales, we inhale. And as we exhale, he inhales. This is the gift that he's given us. Lord God, I thank you for the ways that you have breathed life into each of us, and for the ways that you continue to breathe life. Sometimes we don't know where that comes from, but we know that that breath comes from you. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of each time we fill our lungs that that is you breathing within us. Help us to connect to you today, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.